Welcome to Bible Adventures. Help for today, hope for tomorrow.
Jesus is Lord of all. Jesus is Lord of all. No sin is too big, no problem too small. Jesus is Lord of all.
In the Middle Ages, from the 5th to the 15th centuries in Europe, some men wanting to concentrate on studying the Bible chose to remain single and lived as a monk in a monastery in near poverty. As time went by, monasteries grew to become independent, self-supporting communities where the monks had no need of going beyond their limits for anything. Although the monks were considered extremely holy men, as the centuries passed, some men started living in a monastery just to become rich and successful. Monks from the monasteries dominated the churches in Europe. However, the best monasteries became centres of learning and an educational aspect, and were only surpassed by the top universities of the time. All monks learnt to read and write, as these were fundamental skills for the role they had within the monastery. The poor people in those days were taught that the only way to heaven and salvation for them was via the church. Therefore, people worked on church land for free 2 days a week to show their love for God. On top, uneducated people paid a tenth of their yearly earnings to the church. Such income made the churches extremely wealthy and powerful. Vast areas of land were bought and used to support the monasteries, which in turn created the wealthiest landowners in England, even greater than the kings on the throne. But although the monasteries were rich, the lifestyle of many monks was often very harsh. While it was easy to see that monks used deceit about the ways of salvation to get free labour from poor people, they also performed important tasks within their community. For example, they were usually the only source of some form of medical help or treatment. While the monks chose a life of being single and alone, the first man, Adam, in the Garden of Eden, didn't. After naming all the land animals, there was no companion that he could find who was suitable for him. In Genesis chapter 2, more detail is given about some aspects of creation week, and this includes God making a human helper for Adam.
And the Lord God caused a deep sleep to fall upon Adam, and he slept. And he took one of his ribs and closed up the flesh thereof. And the rib which the Lord God had taken from man made he a woman, and brought her unto the man. And Adam and Eve walked through the Garden of Eden. And Adam told her the name of every living creature in it, as well as the name of all the things that grew there.
Adam?
Yes, Eve?
There's a certain tree. We've walked past it a number of times. Why haven't you told me its name? Have you forgotten it?
No, I haven't forgotten. It is the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. God has given us permission to eat of the fruit of every tree, except that one.
I wonder why.
He told me that if we ate of its fruit, we would surely die.
In Genesis chapter 1, on the sixth day of creation, God said, "Let us make man in our image, according to our likeness." The plural use of us and our for God reflects the communication being engaged by the three members of the Godhead, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. God is one person, yet more than one. And this highlights the doctrine of the Trinity, even though the word Trinity isn't used in the Scriptures. In the same way, human beings are made up of a trinity of body, soul, which is the immortal part, living forever, and spirit, which is the character or personality, mind and will. In chapter 1 of Genesis, the creation is given in a general sense, but in chapter 2, there are more details on some aspects of creation. In chapter 2, we discover that God made Adam out of the dust of the ground, while he made Eve out of a rib in Adam's side. Both people were equal before God, and he blessed them. Adam and Eve enjoyed their paradise garden home and the walks and talks that they had with God each evening. This relationship didn't change until Adam and Eve disobeyed God's command not to eat fruit from a certain tree in the middle of the garden. Throughout the generations since, husbands and wives have each had certain types of roles to perform in the home and society, the husband often being the breadwinner and the wife a carer of any children. However, in recent times, women have felt the pressure of being considered inferior intellectually to men. This has led to a struggle for equality in particular areas of living. Women have wanted to become breadwinners too, and to be paid the same wage as men for performing the same duties. There has arisen a movement among women known as feminists. They've claimed that there's no difference between men and women, just as people with blue eyes are able to see just as well as those with brown eyes. Recent research has shown that adult male brains tend to be more nerve-connected from the front to back of the same hemisphere, while female brains are more connected between the left and the right hemispheres. The exception to this is the section used for motor control, involving body movement. Because of this, often men excel at certain tasks while women at others. Our great creator made men and women to complement each other, and even secular psychologists agree with this. The goal is to have men and women work in harmony and not to keep a continual atmosphere of hostility and competition. When God made Adam and Eve and put them in a specially designed garden, God completed his 6 days of creation. He could have done it all in 6 hours, but he didn't, for a special reason. He worked within the natural laws of day and night that he established from the outset. At the beginning of chapter 2, the Bible tells us that God rested on the seventh day and set it aside as a special holy day. In Exodus chapter 20, God spoke through Moses and gave the Israelites the Ten Commandments after their recent escape from slavery in Egypt. The fourth commandment concerns rest on the seventh day. God made it a pattern for the Israelite people to rest and worship him on the seventh day of the week. Christians today rest and worship on the first day of the week because that was the day that the Lord Jesus arose from the grave. Why is a day of rest each week so necessary? Some people want to keep working all the time, regardless of the day or night. We call these workaholics, and over time, their health starts to suffer from not having the rest for their bodies. Some people don't want to work much any day of the week, and these people we call lazy. There's a famous passage in Proverbs chapter 6, where people who are lazy are told to observe the ways of the ants. The ants gather and store food for the times when it's not possible to find any. People also are advised to prepare for the times ahead, or they won't have food for when they need it. God ordained the seventh day as a day of rest because as our Maker, he knew best what we needed. Did you know that back in the 1890s in France, the authorities tried to make a week of 10 days with the tenth day as a day of rest? Everyone became so very tired. Even the horses couldn't keep going after a few months, and they had to abandon the whole plan. God's ways are always best. Let's go back to what was wrong with the monks tricking poor people into working free on monastery land. This period of time in the Middle Ages is also called the Dark Ages because the Bible wasn't available for anyone and everyone to read. Uneducated people didn't know the Latin language that the Bible was written in, and only the monks and priests could do so. People couldn't check to see that what the monks said was actually true in the Bible. There seemed to be a general unrest in the early 1500s among educated people within Europe about the way the church was growing super rich and its leaders were arrogant and abusive of human rights. The monks and priests themselves seemed to be unsure about the correct way of salvation too. Although there were some people who were convinced that the popular religion was adequate to meet the spiritual needs of all the people, most students of English history speak of the Middle Ages as a time of priestly ignorance, low standards of morality, and other corrupt practices. In England, William Tyndale had a conversation with a fellow priest about the need for the scriptures to be written in English. At that particular time, people weren't allowed to own a copy of the Bible in English, even if one was available. Tyndale's companion wasn't convinced at the time, but he thought that as long as the people had the Bishop of Rome's laws, the scriptures were not needed. To this, Tyndale replied, "I defy the Pope and all his laws. If God spares my life, I will make a ploughboy know more of the scriptures than you do." Why was Tyndale motivated to say such strong words? Historians of that period, regardless of their origin, agree that conditions were unspeakably bad in a religious sense. What could be done to remedy this situation? Tyndale and others were convinced that a change would only occur when all people had access to the Word of God in a language that they could understand. And so he set about this very task. In Germany, one monk named Martin Luther was trying desperately hard to win God's favour by having a little sleep, long fasts and prayers, and doing great amounts of chores. Although he tried so hard to do as many good deeds as possible, he still had the distinct impression that he was far from God and his love. The habit of that time was for people to confess their sins to the priest and pay money to the church to have their sins forgiven. Luther didn't know the verse in Luke chapter 5 that says, "Only God alone can forgive sins." Every time Luther thought of something he'd forgotten to confess, he'd rush to his supervisor to confess it. The supervisor gave Luther the scriptures to read, and while reading them one day in 1517, Luther discovered the place in Romans chapter 1, verse 17, where it says, "The just shall live by faith." How very happy Luther became. He'd come to realize that God freely gives forgiveness of sins and eternal life to all who believe in Jesus Christ. All Luther's striving to please God by his own good works didn't help one little bit. Finally, Luther was able to sense God's love for him. From that day on, Luther saw everything in a different light, and what he saw in the monastery and churches didn't please him at all. The Pope of the day wanted to raise a lot of money to repair a large church in Rome. To do this, he had a monk go around selling the poor people pieces of paper saying their sins were forgiven. The people actually believed that they could have God's forgiveness by buying a piece of paper. Luther spoke to the monk selling the pieces of paper, but he wouldn't listen to Luther. Luther then wrote a series of questions about abuses in the church, reasoning that they would start to stir the consciences of the leaders and bring about reform within the church. Luther never expected that the 95 reasons he put on the castle church door at Wittenberg, where he lived, would be copied and recopied and distributed all over Germany. Of course, Luther was soon in trouble with the church authorities, but he never backed down. No longer would poor people buy useless pieces of paper saying their sins had been forgiven. The church's money-raising scheme came to a halt. The people heard that they were to go straight to God, confess their sins, and be forgiven. By 1520 AD, the Catholic Church had had enough. They declared Martin Luther a heretic, a crime punishable by death. Luther escaped and he went into hiding, where he translated some of the Bible into German. It took many years before he had the full Bible translated for common people to be able to read and understand. But as events turned out, the consciences of the Catholic Church authorities weren't stirred the same to reform, and so new churches outside that system sprang up in a number of countries. The people who started worshipping in these churches were called Protestants because they protested the sins of the existing church. Luther himself left the monastery and married, and had a resulting 6 children. He lectured and taught from the scriptures, and he died from natural causes. These true reformers who changed history had a phrase that guided their actions. It was scripture only. This meant that the final authority in all matters of belief and conduct is to be found in the scripture alone. Any new thinking, tradition, or potential practice in churches needs to be guided by what the scriptures say. This means that people were to be well informed about what the Bible taught so they wouldn't be deceived again. When God made Adam and Eve, he gave them one of the most important themes in all of Scripture. God desires to give mankind abundant blessings, but for people to receive them, there is a condition. A person must love and obey God. When God put the first 2 humans in the garden with only one rule, not to eat of the tree of knowledge of good and evil, it was a test to see if they would love and obey him. In 2 John chapter 1, verse 6, the Apostle John said, "And this is love, that we walk in obedience to his commands." The drama is from the Bible in Living Sound. You can also contact us through our website, www.bibleradio.org.au. Those addresses again, and the website, bibleradio.org.au. We're looking forward to hearing from you. You've been listening to Bible Adventures, and I hope you'll join me again next time.